excited to come back. We thank you. Amen. Jesus, Jesus. St. Luke chapter number 15. We'll look at verses 20 through 24 today. St. Luke chapter 15, verses 20 through 24. When you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Last week we looked at the verses 17 through 20 where he decided he would go home. And verse 20 says, so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. And filled with love and compassion, he ran toward his son and embraced him and kissed him. He said to said to his father, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And kill the fatted calf. Amen. For we must celebrate with a feast. For this my son was dead and has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So they began to celebrate and be merry. The party began. Verses 22 through 24. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring me the finest robe in the house and put it on him. And get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf, the fatted calf. For we must celebrate with a feast. For this my son was dead. And now he is alive. He was lost. But now he is found. So they begin to be married. And the party began. Amen. For a little while, we're going to use for our thought. You can always come home. Amen. You can always come home. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You can always come home. Amen. We thank God. Amen. For being able to come home. This is the third sermon in our four-part series entitled Lost and Found. All month long, we've been looking at this 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke. And we learned that St. Luke is comprised of three parables. We learned that a parable is a non-spiritual story that illustrates for us a spiritual truth. In the first two parables, we learned about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And in this third parable, we're learning now about the lost sons. Last week, we were introduced to a man that had two sons. We learned that in Jewish culture, it was typical for a father to leave an inheritance for his children. It was typical for a father to leave something behind, not like we said, not like the modern-day Rolling Stone father. All he left, she was alone, amen. But this father, amen, typically in the Jewish culture, they left something for their children, amen. They left something behind. They left an inheritance. We learned that although typically the inheritance would be received after death, after the father died, that it wasn't unusual for a father to distribute the inheritance prior to him dying. It wasn't unusual for him to have a conversation, amen, to begin to distribute his inheritance prior to him dying. However, it was inappropriate and unusual for a son to demand his inheritance prior to the father dying. Nonetheless, this is precisely what happened in our text, amen. The younger son came to the father and demanded immediately that he receive his inheritance before his father died, amen. We illustrated last week that it was disrespectful on many levels. It was disrespectful to the older son because typically the way it works is the older son will get the inheritance first. He would get two-thirds. He was entitled to two-thirds, and he would get his inheritance first, amen, before the younger brother got his inheritance. But the and also it was disrespectful in a sense to the father, because the father wasn't dead and he hadn't brought up any talks about the inheritance. So it was disrespectful to the father. In his mind, he was saying, you're dead to me now, so give me my inheritance. He was entitled. And he began to demand something that he shouldn't have demanded, and it was out of order, it was out of turn, and inappropriate. But nonetheless, even though the father, amen, knew these things, he knew it was out of order, he knew he was, amen, wrong for doing so, for requesting it, he still obliged. He still gave him the inheritance. But not long after he received his inheritance, the scripture says he began to waste it on riotous living, on prodigal living. He began to waste it on living any kind of way he wanted to live. He began to waste it, amen, on living, amen, that was inappropriate. He was already inappropriate at home, but when he left home, he was even more inappropriate. He began to live his life any kind of way he wanted. He wasted his father's inheritance. He didn't value what his father gave him. He wasted it on riotous living, on wasteful living, on prodigal living. We learned that in the Jewish culture, amen, as a result of him losing everything that he had, because he wasted it, he lost everything that he had, and as a result, he had nothing, and there was a famine in the land, and he had to go feed pigs. And we learned in the Jewish culture that feeding pigs or touching pigs or doing anything with pigs was a disgrace, because pigs were considered unclean animals. And so this man began to do something that he thought he would never do. Amen. This prodigal son had hit rock bottom. He was so desperate, amen, he began to desire. He was so hungry that he began to desire what the pigs were eating. The food that the pigs had, the food that the pigs were feeding on, he began to want that. It looked appetizing to him. Amen. Have you ever, amen, looked at something that most people despise, and you looked at it as appetizing? He was so desperate, again, that the people, the food that the pigs were eating looked appetizing. And this is significant, because pigs would eat anything. They're rumored to eat slop. They're rumored to eat their own dung. They're rumored to eat their young who are sick. They're rumored, amen, to be scavengers. And they rumored to go ahead and clean the farm. I don't know what's going on, but it's okay. Amen. We're going to get it together. Amen. Brother Chris, I don't know where you at, but we need you now. Amen. Come on in and help us out. I know you hear this ringing. Amen. It's not good. Listen, pigs were rumored to be scavengers, and they were used often to begin to clean the farm. They were used to pick up the things to keep the farm in a good place, to keep the farm in a good spot. Amen. They were rumored to eat whatever is laid in front of them. And this son began to look at the food that the pigs were eating as appetizing. He began to look at the food that these pigs, amen, enjoyed, amen. Again, they enjoyed anything. He began to look at that as appetizing. He began to desire what most people despise. Through his pain, his son began to realize, amen, how good he had it at his father's house. Through his pain, his son began to realize, amen, that he took his father for granted. Because of his pain, he was willing to do whatever it took to get back into his father's good graces. He just wanted to go home. He didn't expect his father to treat him like a son because of the way he treated his father. He didn't expect his father to accept him back, amen, amen, put him back like it was at old times. He didn't expect his father, amen, to just take him back with open arms. He said, listen, I'm willing to be a servant. I'm going to apply for a job in your house. I just want to be a servant in your house. I'm not asking to be restored back. I'm not asking for my brother's inheritance. I'm not asking, amen, for you to give me back what I wasted. I'm just asking to come home. Amen, which brings us to our text. Verse 20, amen, said he returned home to his father. And I really like this verse, amen, because it's powerful. It speaks to us. Because if you look at verse 17, which we looked at last week, he just had the idea. The scripture said he came to his senses. He came to himself. He realized how important it was for him to be at home with his father. He had the idea to go home. Amen, and I like it because verse 20, he went home. Amen. He had the idea in verse 17, amen. He had it all planned out, all mapped out. He said he's going to do this, he's going to do that. He even came up with a script that he would give to his father. And in verse 20, he actually went home. The thing I like about it is that the son didn't stop at the thought. He made his thought an action. Amen. He made sure that his actions line up with his intentions. Amen. Many times we have good thoughts, but we never take action. We have good intentions, but we never take action. We have good desires, good goals, good dreams, good aspirations, but we never take action. Because we feel our intentions are good enough. Amen. We never make steps to take change. Many of us excuse our lack of action because we had good intentions. I didn't show up, but I meant to. Amen. I didn't show up. Amen. I didn't come, but I intended to. I planned on it in my head. Amen. But I didn't make it. Amen. And so we excuse our lack of action because we had the thought to do it. Amen. But this man in verse 17 had the thought to do it. In verse 20, he actually did it. It's important, amen, not to stop at thoughts. It's important not to stop at desires. It's important not to stop at good intentions, amen, because good intentions, amen, without action is nothing. It's meaningless. You have to realize if you're still doing the wrong things, your intentions are meaningless. If you're still heading in the wrong direction, amen, your intention to turn around is meaningless. Amen. If you always intending and never doing, your intention to do good is meaningless. They say the path to hell is paved with good intentions. Amen. I'm on my way to hell, amen, but I intend to turn around. I'm on my way to hell, but one day I'm going to get it right. I'm on my way to hell, but I promise to God, I love you with all my heart, and I'm going to turn around. I'm going to get it right. Amen. I'm on my way to hell. Hell is that way. Heaven is this way. Amen. But I'm paving, amen, my path to hell with my good intentions. I love God. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to repent one day. One day he's going to call. I'm going to go up there. One day he's going to call. I'm going to surprise him at church. I'm going to surprise him. He's going to be surprised to see me. While we're on our way to hell. Planning on doing the right thing. Planning on going the right way. Planning on turning around. Planning on getting it right. But we never get it right. Amen. Still, with good intentions, paving our way in the wrong direction. We have to realize it's important. Amen. Not to just intend, but to do. Amen. I was going to. I was about to. I was ready to. Amen. I almost was there. I got ready. I was getting in my car. I had every intention to. I almost did. But I never did. We must stop allowing our good intentions to replace our actions. I'm going to say that again. That's good. You must write that down. Amen. We must stop allowing our good intentions to replace our actions. We must stop being satisfied with good intentions with no action. I'm going to say that again, too. That's good. We must be, amen. We must stop being satisfied with good intentions with no action. We must realize a good desire means nothing if we never take the steps toward change. A good intention means nothing if we never take the steps toward change. It's one thing to desire to change, and it's a whole other thing altogether to change, amen, to take the steps toward change. I really admire this man because he desired in verse 17. In verse 20, he made the action to do it. The scripture says in verse 20 and 21, he went home to his father, and his father saw him from a long way off and ran to his son and kissed him. And he said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. You see, this son acknowledged his sin before the father could say anything. Amen. The father saw him from a long way off and he ran to him and kissed him. And before the father could say, oh son, I missed you, or oh son, I'm so happy you're home, or oh son, I left everything the way you left it when you left it. He didn't say anything. Before the father could say anything, before the father could address the son addressed his sin. Amen. He said, Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven. I want to come home. He addressed his father. He addressed everything that he did wrong before the father could say anything. He didn't wait on the father. See, any of us are waiting on this and waiting on that. I'll repent when I'll do this when I'll get older. We ain't got time for all that. You don't know if you're going to get older. You don't know if you're going to have this opportunity. You don't know if they're going to repent first or they're going to say sorry first. You don't ever want to be the first to say I'm sorry. That's crazy. You need to get it right, amen, no matter what they do. Why are we basing our actions on somebody else? Right. Why are we basing our actions on somebody else who is imperfect like we are? Man, why don't we be the mature one? Be the bigger person. Instead of this, I'm never going to be the first to say I'm sorry. Be the first and get it right. Whether they accept it or not, whether they apologize or not, you be the one that's correct. And so the son addressed the father. He said, Father, I have sinned. Before the father could say anything, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. You see, he addresses sin before his father, amen, can say anything. I like that because, amen, we have to, many times we try to hide our sin. We are too busy trying to explain our sin. We often try to excuse and defend our sin. We often try to blame others for our sin. Well, if my brother would have treated me right, then maybe I wouldn't have left home. And maybe if you were nicer to me when I was growing up, maybe I wouldn't have wanted to leave home. And maybe if you would have let me feed, amen, the animals, amen, and you would have threw me a party, amen, or maybe if you would have did this or did that, I would have never left home. A lot of times, we would have came back with the attitude, Lord, Father, it's your fault that I left. It's your fault that I'm the way I am. It's your fault. I think like I said, it's your fault. You didn't try to stop me. I asked for the money, you gave it to me. You know, these thoughts go through our head. We always are justifying our actions, amen, and blaming other people for our actions. Amen. We need to learn to take responsibility for ourselves. I know things happen to us and things, amen, alter sometimes the way we are, but you have to deal with those things. Stop allowing what happened to you to dictate how you act right now. Stop allowing what they did to you, what they said to you, how they treated you, how wrong it was, to dictate how you respond and how you act right now. It's important, amen, for us to acknowledge our sin. His son acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged where he was. But too often we're trying to remain in our sin, so we can't. We don't have time to repent of it. We can't acknowledge our sin because we're too busy trying to defend it. But like the son in the story, the best thing we can do for sin is acknowledge it, repent for it, amen, and accept the mercy of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to pray like King David in Psalm 32. Amen. Have mercy upon me, O God, have mercy. He said, wash me away, wash me in your blood, wash me whiter than snow, cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. You see, thank God that my sins are covered in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter what I've done, my sins are covered in the blood of the Lamb. No matter what my past looks like, my sins are covered in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed is the man whose sins, amen, are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Amen. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. You see, I got on my burgundy robe today. It represents the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you today, amen, his blood covered me. Amen. As I put my robe on, amen, I couldn't help but to think, amen, as I covered up my clothes that I have underneath, his blood covered me. His blood covered, amen, my imperfections. His blood covered the things that I did wrong. His blood covered. His blood covered. Blessed is the man. I'm blessed. And I know it. I'm blessed. And I'm not afraid to tell you I'm blessed. I'm blessed because my sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are your sins washed today? Hallelujah. Are your sins washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here to tell you, amen, my sins are covered in the blood. And I'm here to ask you the question, are your sins covered in the blood? Or are they covered by your attempts to hide them? Uh-oh. Come on, somebody. Are your sins covered in the blood of the Lamb, or are they covered by your attempts to act like they don't exist? Are they covered by your attempts to justify them? Well, everybody's doing something. Nobody's perfect. God knows my heart. But your heart is desperately wicked and deceptive. Who can know it? We're going off of our excuses. Amen. And we are covering our sin. We can't accept the blood of the Lamb. We can't accept, amen, the forgiveness of sin because we're too busy explaining it. Repent of it. Stop explaining it. Come on, somebody. Adam messed us up. Amen. Adam died all the sin. We are all, amen, going to, like sheep have gone astray. We all need the blood of the Lamb. Stop explaining it and repent for it. Just acknowledge where you are. I messed up. I need the love. I need the grace of God. I know I need to do better. I'm not going to continue to make excuses for my sin. I'm just going to repent for it.
Yes.
Because no matter how many excuses you make and how good you make yourself feel about it and how much you let yourself off the hook, you are still a sin. You still need the blood to cover it. Stop covering it yourself and let Jesus cover it. Stop covering your sin yourself and let Jesus cover it. You can't cover it. You're not qualified.
Right.
But the blood of the Lamb can cover it and wash it away. And no matter what, it'll change you.
No, no. When he covers you, amen, when your sin is covered in the blood, when he covers you with his grace and covers you with his mercy, he will change you.
Yes.
You see, your attempt to change, I mean, to cover your sin won't never change. You continue to do it.
Amen.
Continue to cover it. Continue to do it. Continue to cover it. You'll never change. You'll always make excuses. You'll always be going down the wrong path. I want to do better. I don't like the person I've become. I don't like this man I am now. I want to change. I want to turn around. I want to get it right. I want to love God. I want to serve him with all my heart. Still going the wrong way. You'll never change.
Amen.
Because you continue to try to cover your own sin. Let Jesus' blood cover your sin.
Yeah.
He'll change you. He'll change your direction.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So this man, he acknowledged his sin. Amen. And his sin was covered by the blood. Amen. We must stop trying to defend our sin and just repent. We prolong the process of forgiveness. We prolong the process of being cleansed because we are trying to hide our sin, not realizing that the Father saw us coming. He saw us before we saw him, and he's waiting to forgive us. Just like the father in the text. You see, this man saw his son. Amen. You see, the son was ready with his script. He said, well, what I'm going to say is, Father, I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, and I just want to be a servant in your house. Amen. Make me one of your highest servants. Make me somebody low on the totem pole. I don't want to be the son. He had all the script. He was ready. But the only thing he did to say was, Father, I have sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven. The father cut him off. He said, quick, bring me the biggest robe. Bring me the breast robe and cut the biggest half in half because we're about to have a party.
Amen.
He didn't get to finish his statement. He didn't get to finish his script because the Father saw him long before he saw the Father. The Father was waiting on him to return home. He was waiting, amen, to cover him with grace, waiting to cover him with mercy. Amen. Like the Father in the text, God wants to cover us. Amen. He's waiting on us just to repent. Waiting on us just to come home. He's waiting on us just to acknowledge where we are and understand that we need to be where he is. He's waiting. He's just waiting. Stop trying to cover it up and just repent. And I'm telling you, he will honor you. He will honor where you are. He will come to you and he will see you before you see him.
Amen.
He will hug you and kiss you. Restore you back to where he was. You see, he was ready to be a servant. But the scripture says, 1 John chapter 1 and 9, he said that we will confess our sin. God is faithful and he is just to forgive us every single time. If we will confess our sin, stop hiding your sin and confess it.
Yeah.
Realize where you are. Realize where you need to be. Amen. And understand that his grace is enough. His grace will cover you. I don't care what you've done. Amen. Your sin will never exhaust the grace of God. And so, no matter what it is, you can confess it. You can tell him, I know I'm wrong, and I know I need to get it right, and I know I need to do better, but I need your blood, I need your grace to cover me, Jesus. Cover me. Hallelujah. You see, like the father in the text, he saw him before he came. He said, if we confess our sin, amen, God is looking for us to come home. He will be faithful and just, amen, to forgive us. And the Father knows what you need before you even ask. Amen. And so this Father, amen, was waiting on his son. He saw his son coming. He just wants us to come home. The son in the text finally came home, and when he was ready with his script, he would tell his father, the father's response was better than he could imagine. You see, he was ready with his script, but his father stopped him. His father cut him off. He didn't allow him to finish his script. The son acknowledged his sin before the father could say anything. But the father acknowledged his son before the son could say anything. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a good word right there. Y'all write that down. Amen. The son acknowledged his sin before the father could say anything. But the father acknowledged his son. He saw his son from a long way off. He thought he would be mad. Amen. He thought his father would be mad. But his father was waiting patiently for him to return. He probably started looking as soon as he left. Amen. When is he going to come home? I'm waiting on him. Amen. I know, amen, he's out there wasting all his money. I wonder what he's out there doing. I wonder, amen, if he's okay. I wonder, amen, if he's eating well. I wonder, amen, if he's getting all the things he needs. I wonder. But I know one day he's going to come home. And when he comes home, I'm going to love on him. Amen. When he comes home, I'm going to show him, amen, how much I love him, how much I appreciate him. I'm going to show him, amen, how he is my son. No matter what he did, I'm going to show him, amen, I'm going to cover him with mercy. I'm going to cover him with grace. I'm going to show him. I'm just waiting on him to come home. God is looking for you. He's searching for you. His grace is waiting on you just to come home. Hallelujah. Don't stay out there another day. Won't you come home? Won't you come home? Won't you come home? The Father is waiting on you just to come home. You see, the Son acknowledged his sin before the Father said anything, but the Father acknowledged his Son before the Son could say anything. He was just waiting on him to come home. As I get ready to close, the Father's response was better than he could ever imagine. Verses 22 through 24 lets us know. The Father said, he cut him off. He said, quick, bring me the best robe and put it on him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. You see, slaves didn't wear sandals. Servants didn't wear sandals. They didn't get to wear shoes. You see, God was, the Father was restoring him back to his where he left. Amen. He said, get the fattest calf. We must have a party. We're going to celebrate and have a good time. For my son, amen, he was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he is found. And they began to party and have a good time. You see, his son did him wrong. Yet his father threw him a party. His son did him wrong, but his father covered him with a robe and gave him sandals. His son did him wrong, but his father treated him right. Amen. And like the Father's response in our text, amen, God's grace is profound. Like the Father's response in our text, his mercy is profound. We do God wrong, yet God treats us right. We do God wrong, yet he covers us with his grace. He covers us with his mercy. We do him wrong, yet he covers us with his love. He covers us with his favor. We do him wrong, amen. We don't do him like we should, amen. We know better, but we still don't do better. We have good intentions, but we still don't do what we should do. Yet he covers us with his compassion. He covers us with his kindness. He covers us with his understanding. He covers us with his forgiveness. He's just waiting on us to come home. He covers us although we deserve to be buried. He covers us although we deserve to be judged. He covers us although we deserve to be forgotten about. He covers us although we deserve to be neglected. He covers us although we deserve to be ignored. He covers us with his grace. He covers us with his mercy. He covers us with his love. He covers us with his blood. He covers us with his compassion. He covers us although we deserve to be deserted and abandoned. He covers us although we deserve to be isolated. He covers us, amen. He covers us, yet still, although we've done it wrong, although we knew better, amen, he still covers us. Hallelujah. He treats us better than we deserve to be treated. He treats us like royalty, although we act like peasants. Uh-oh, that's a good one right there. He treats us like royalty, although we act like peasants. We act like the help, but he treats us like sons and daughters. What a mighty God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. What a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's why we worship you and praise you the way that we do, because you're good. And I even know I'm not good. He's worthy of the praise. You see, he treats us better than we deserve. The Father's response in the text was much better than the Son could have ever imagined. Amen. The scripture says, Ephesians 3:20, he said, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Amen. Exceedingly abundantly above. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or all that you can think. Amen. All that you can guess and all that you can imagine. All that you can request and all that you can ask for. All that you can demand. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. You see, we have something in our mind that we want, but God can blow your mind. He can do exceedingly. He can do abundantly. He can do above all that we ask. All that we think. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. And I guess what? He's waiting to do it. He's waiting to do it. He just wants you to come home. Amen. Stop standing your sin because you think he won't forgive you. He's waiting to forgive you. He's waiting, amen, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask. All that you can think. All that you can imagine. All that you can request. All that you can demand. He's waiting to do exceedingly abundantly above. And that's exactly what happened in the text. And he came home to his father. Amen. And we have to realize He came home and he repented. He said, it was because of my sin. Amen. I sinned against heaven and I sinned against you. I realized where I was. You see, he acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged where he was. And his repentance, amen, caused the Father to bless him beyond his wildest dreams. You see, our submission to God will cause the Father to bless us bigger than we could ever imagine. Our obedience to God will cause him to bless us more than we could ever hope for. You see, sin keeps us separated. Sin keeps us isolated. Sin keeps you depressed and empty and down. Sin keeps you feeling bad about yourself. Sin keeps you ashamed. Sin keeps you always intending, but never doing. The shame of sin will cause you to think that God is mad at you. You see, the shame of sin will cause you to think that when you come back, amen, they're going to be looking at you funny. When you come back, they're going to be treating you funny. When you come back, people won't get it. Amen. The shame of sin will cause you to think, amen, they used to tell me that their daughter would say, amen, the church going to blow up when I show up. It's going to catch on fire. That's the shame of sin talking.
Amen.
That's not the grace of God.
Right.
You see, the grace of God is waiting on you to come home. The shame of sin will keep you out there longer than you want to say.
Amen.
The shame of sin will keep you, amen, making excuses why you won't come, why you won't show up. Or the pastor, he gonna look at me funny if I show up. Amen, who cares if the pastor look at you funny? Amen, the pastor didn't save you. Jesus saved you. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The pastor, amen, didn't do anything for you. Jesus did it for you. And you coming to see God, you're not coming to see a man. And if you come to see a man, you come for the wrong reason anyway. Hallelujah. You need to get to Jesus. I don't care what the pastor say. I don't care what the church folk look at you funny. I don't care if the mother boy would say, I told you should have never left in the first place. Who cares what you think? Go sit your old butt down somewhere and let me get to my Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen. We have to realize, amen, I don't mean no disrespect to nobody, but we have to get to Jesus. Forget about these people. Hallelujah. Listen, if you come for a man, you're coming for the wrong reason. You got to come for Jesus. The shame of sin, amen, will keep you out there longer than you want to say. But those, amen, are just lies from the pit of hell. Verse 7 says, there's more joy in heaven when one soul repents. When one person get it right. Amen. Heaven throws a party. Amen. When we come home. Amen. Over the 99 others that stay righteous. Amen. Which lets us to know God is waiting to restore us. Like I said earlier. Amen. A servant. Amen. Won't get a robe. A servant won't get sandals for his feet. Amen. This man was being restored as a son. Amen. And God is waiting on us. Amen. To repent. He's waiting on us to come home so he can restore us back to where we were before. He wants to restore you, amen, back to your former glory. He wants to restore you and take you to another level, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask and all that you can think and all that you can imagine. He's waiting on you to come home. He will bless you beyond the wildest dreams. Hallelujah. You see, the son, we said last week, that the son, amen, he was willing to be a servant. You see, sin has stripped him of his identity. And when we go into sin and when we go outside of the safety and the pasture that God has provided for us, amen, it can begin to make you forget who you really are. You start having low self-esteem and start believing the lies of the devil. You stop believing in yourself. You stop dreaming. Amen. You used to have dreams and goals and visions and aspirations, but life has knocked you down and sin has beat you up to the point where you stop believing in yourself. It caused you to lose your identity. It caused you to lose the value that God placed on the inside of you. So long you've been out there. You've been out there way too long. And as a result, amen, the thing that God put inside you and caused you to forget about who you really are. You see, sin will mess you up. But God is just waiting to restore you back to who you used to be. Amen. To make you dream again. Yes. To make you love again. Amen. To make you believe in yourself again. To make you know, amen, that the value that God put in you, amen, is bigger than the sin and the value that the sin tried to take out of you. The value that God has placed on the inside is bigger than the value that the sin has tried to rob you. He wants you to know, amen, how special you are, how much he loves you, how cared for you are, how valuable you are, how much he needed you, how much he missed you.
Yeah, yeah.
Being where you're supposed to be. Yeah. You see, sin will beat you up and make you think that God is mad, but God's not mad. He's just waiting on you to come home.
Yeah.
He's just looking for you. Amen. Like the 99, the shepherd that left the 99, he's looking for you. He's waiting on you. Like the woman with the 9 coins, he's waiting on you. He's looking for you. His grace, his mercy, his compassion is looking for you. Waiting on you to come home. You see, he was ready to be a servant. He had lost his identity. But God was ready to restore him. You see, God was ready to put him back in a place where he belonged. In other words, no matter what you've done, you can always come home. No matter how long you've been gone, you can always come home. No matter how far you've strayed away, you can always come home. No matter who you've hurt in the process, amen, amen. No matter who you manipulated in the process, you can always come home. No matter what the church people say, amen, whether they accept you or they look at you funny, you can still come home. No matter what sin you committed, you can still come home. No matter what commandments you broke, you can still come home. No matter what idol you worship, amen, you can still come home. No matter what lies you told over and over, you can still come home. No matter who you cheated, amen, and robbed and manipulated, you can still come home. No matter how much time you wasted, amen, making excuse after excuse, you can still come home. No matter how many mistakes you made, you can still come home. No matter how many times you justify your sinful behavior, you can still come home. Even if you were a leader when you left, you can still come home. Even if you've been clearing the pigs, which is a disgraceful job, you can still come home. No matter how many pigs you fed, amen, you can still come home. No matter how many times you rode around with the pigs in the mud, you can still come home. Amen. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy, his compassions that fail not. Thank God for his love, amen, that is everlasting. Thank God, amen, for his truth that lasts from generation to generation. Thank God that he allows me to always come home. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day to God. Amen, the best father ever. Amen, because of his love, we can always come home. Amen, put your hands together and thank God, amen, that you can always come home. You can always come home. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting on you to come home. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you never heard the gospel message that Jesus came to die for your sins, you never heard or knew that sin was any time to go contrary to the word of God. You see, we look at big sins, cheating, lying, murder, and all these things that we say. And we feel as if because I'm not a liar, I'm not a cheater, I'm not a bad person. Amen. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't do, amen, some evil things. Amen. We feel like we're good and we don't need the Savior. But I need to tell you, no matter, amen, who you are, amen, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And no matter how good you think you are, amen, you still need his grace. You still need his mercy. You still need to realize, amen, that sin is any time we go contrary to the place that God is taking us. Anytime God said go left, you say, well, I'm going to go right. Today, you ain't saying. And that seems hopeless and helpless, but Jesus said, although they deserve the penalty that sin brought their way, I'm going to be the one to die on the cross for their sin. I'm going to take the penalty for all the things that they did and said wrong. I'm going to be the one. And he died. He died on the cross with his nails. Hands nailed to the cross for the things I touched I never should have touched. His feet were nailed for the places I went I never should have gone there. And a crown of thorns on his hand for the things I thought wrong I never should have thought. And it was pierced in the side. Hallelujah. For all the sins that I committed, he took the penalty and he died. And that would be a great story all by itself. But not only that, he died. But not only did he say that he died, he rose on the third day. And he's seated currently right now, alive and well, on the right hand of God. But that's the death, the burial, the resurrection. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you hear today, you never heard the gospel message, won't you come and let us pray for you? Let's believe God. Accept Jesus as he If you hear today and you accepted Jesus in your heart, amen, but we have to realize it's important to repent as well. You see, repentance and acceptance go hand in hand. You see, the Son came home to the Father, but he came home in repentance.
He didn't come home justifying. He didn't come home explaining. He didn't come home with all these excuses. He came home saying, man, I messed up. I didn't get it right. And many of us accept it and believe, but we have yet to repent. It's important to repent. Acknowledge who you are. Stop explaining your sin and repent for it. Stop defending your sin and repent for it. Won't you come today? If you hear the name and you believe in the Lord and you believe in Jesus, but you haven't made him the Lord, you haven't repented of your sin, won't you come and let us pray? If you desire prayer for any reason whatsoever, this is the time. Today is the day. Won't you come?
Sleep.